The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Hi everybody, thanks for logging in for another episode of our Platinum Training for Busan Method Platinum members. And we have Peter here at Penang. Great to have you here, Peter.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, KC. Yeah, happy belated birthday to KC.
Thank you very much. In fact, like yesterday is my birthday, so I went to, coincidentally, it's also Public Bank's AGM, Annual General Meeting. So I went there at Shangri-La Hotel in KL. So the meeting start on 11 o'clock, and then they serve like breakfast starting from 9 o'clock, you know. So I said, wow, why do they serve so early? So I went there 11, because I don't want to have their breakfast. But when I got there, all the cars like parked, you know, outside of Shangri-La. It's like jam-packed. Everywhere, it's like you got no place to go in already. So wow, is it wow? So many people. On. So I drove to a nearby LRT station where we got some parking. So I parked there and walked like 10 minutes to the place. And then queue up for the registration. Queue up to get the door gift. And then and too bad, you really couldn't make it into that the meeting room, the ballroom, the grand ballroom is like packed with people. All the seats are taken and. There are many more that is like standing at the back, standing at just right beside the door. So, in fact, when I stand there at the door, I have to keep moving because I have to let people go in and let people go out as well. So I'm like, never mind lah, I'll just leave lah. So I went to other place. Crazy, right?
Yeah. If one of the AGM that I wanted to, I will go to in my life, if I am given a chance. If I go to KL suddenly, but I wouldn't go to KL just because of that trip. Yeah.
But you would go to Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway Annual General Meeting. That's what you did.
Yes, correct. In fact, actually, I wanted to go this year because this year is the 50th year anniversary where Warren Buffett is actually the CEO. The only problem for me is I couldn't find a partner to go with from that people who I know because my wife. Will be delivering soon. During that period, she cannot fly. So, I have to miss it.
I see.
Sadly. Yes. But if any of the members are going, please do let me know. I need to buy something actually. So I hope I can hitchhike to buy something.
Oh, I see.
It's actually a book because they have a 50th year anniversary book especially during that period being sold at that period at that time. So I hope to get a book, a copy if it's possible.
Nice.
So anyway, if any members is going, please do let me know. Thank you.
Okay, we'll arrange that. And I got to know that you just came back from it's not Melbourne, it's like Australia. Like you went to a few places in Australia. Sydney, right? But you went to Melbourne and Sydney? Two cities only?
No, only Sydney only. Because last year, I think last year or 2 years ago, we've been to Melbourne already. I think 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, we've been to Melbourne. So now we are going to Sydney. We go to Sydney instead.
Okay, good. And we have several members over here. Let's get started since we have some homework submitted by our members and we are going to discuss about that today.
Yeah, correct. Oh yes, by the way, actually in fact when I receive homework, I'm also pretty happy, you know, because I can talk about stocks or their homework rather than keep on talking about insurance or car loan or housing loans, because there seems to be no homework, is it? So when there's homework, I'm pretty happy, so I can continue talking about other people's homework.
Nice.
Yes. So this is Brian's homework. So here there's not much for me to comment other than if you notice like here, what happened is Brian did 2011, 2012, and 2013. So he breaks down to year by year, and all these numbers I believe he got it from Stock Performance Guide. So one thing good is if you see on a year by year and there's a breakdown rather than just looking at average, sometimes you can see some. Patterns. Like example, if you take a look at HSL, you can see that actually the ROE has dropped 21% to 18.9 to 15. So in that sense, when you want to calculate the HSL's intrinsic value, then you might not want to use the average of 18.7, instead 18. You might not want to use average you see, because it has been dropping. So probably you might want to use the lowest one, which is the most recent year, which is 15.8. Even then, again, you have to check and read through whether is the company's ROE keep on dropping or not. Because if the ROE keep on dropping, then the ROE that you use, in fact, by right, should be lower as well.
Mm-hmm. It's also the same thing happening to Padini, right? The ROEs also keep dropping. We have talked about it a few times about Padini, if you dig back all the our recording, right?
Mm. Yeah, correct. Yes, but Padini is also the same thing because of competition, Uniqlo and H&M. Mm. So competition is actually not good for the company. For capitalization, competition is not good. For consumer, it's good. But for the company, it's not good. Then other than that, then this is the calculated PE, which I think he did a good job. So I'm still waiting for him to do the analysis of one by one. But anyway, if you are doing the analysis, then you should start from the lowest PE and going down, because the lowest PE might give the best opportunity. So you should start from the lowest PE and going down, right? But this is the initial research. You know, this is not the end of the research. Don't say, oh, Bonnet at 3.7, then just buy like that. It doesn't work like that way. So you need to check a number of things first. Okay. So this is Brian's homework. So not much to comment. Next one is Raymond's homework. Raymond's homework. More things to comment. This is Raymond's homework. Then here, Raymond did a number of filtration, which I don't know how to do this filtration. But anyway, I find it pretty good, interesting, because he have 2010, 2011, 12, 13, and 14. So he have 5 years ROE. Then this, he have the past 3 years, and he have the past 5 years also. And this is the past 10 years.
Average. That's the average, right?
Yeah, correct. And I don't know how he get the numbers. But anyway, that's a good job, because you have more numbers than basically you, and also he has the lowest and the highest also, the past 5 years. So that's pretty good. For those who have finished your homework one, then you can access to his homework as well. So you can see how he did that. But more importantly is, where does those numbers come from? How did he get those numbers? Which I think that's more important. Okay. Then the next thing is he chosen three companies, CBIP, Coastal, and Padini. I'm not sure why he chooses these three companies. Probably because it's in Bursa method, in one of those videos. But then again, if it's not in those videos, you can also talk about that. You know, you can even submit that also. I don't mind to take a look at that also. Because sometimes, what wasn't a good buy that time, now suddenly becomes a good buy. Maybe because the price have dropped, or maybe the ROE have increased, or maybe the company's debts have reduced, and so forth. So in that sense, what was good back then might not be good right now, and what was not so good back then might be good right now. Is it? So in that sense, it changes.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take a look at his homework in detail for each company. So I think other members will also benefit from it. CBIP. Yes. All right. This is Raymond's homework for CBIP. Wow. You can see that he did quite a good job. Actually, he break down into year by year. For the past 5 years, 12 months. Then after that, then here also he take a screenshot of CBIP's stock performance guide. so that's very good. It saves your time. If you don't have stock performance guide, actually you benefit from that also. But one thing is the stock performance guide, it's a bit slow, is it? Because here until 2013 only, but no, the most recent one have until 2014 already. And the stock performance guide, the most recent one still not out yet. Also. You have to wait until about May or June or something like that. So that's pretty
cool. And they only update like twice a year. So it's kind of like...
Yes, correct. Yeah, but one thing good about this stock performance guide, you can see the past 10 years record. So you can see the past dividends for the past 10 years, the past earnings per share for the past 10 years, and the price range, and the PE range, and so forth. So that's pretty helpful to me. And good companies normally you can see that the price actually is increasing. It's like a ladder. Then some might say, oh, at least now the price is at its peak. But if you look at all these, all good companies, it will be consistently be like that. you wouldn't, only you can see if it's a lousy company, then it's from the highest price coming down to a lower.
Yeah.
If you look at Mars, then of course you might see the other way. You say, now price is the lowest. But the thing is, you buy Mars stock, and then I think it will continue to become lower and lower. So that's not the right way to see valuation. Okay, now I need to talk about this one. I noticed that a number of people, when they submit homework, it's actually the way they calculate ROE. The ROE that they use is actually because this one, what happened is a lot of the Reuters numbers, they give all these year-end number, and year-end number. So in that sense, they just take the year-end, the net profit divided by year-end capital, which that is wrong. For that, Raymond did a good job, because Raymond used average equity, you see. So in that sense, he avoided that mistake. I noticed many people, they submit the homework to me, and I noticed they didn't use average. They use the ending, which is, to me, I don't think that's correct. Either use average, or if you want, you use the beginning equity, then you adjust for the changes in the equity value after deduction, or after excluding net profit and dividends. I think in one of the videos I did talk about that. But a simpler one, of course, you just use average will do. So in that sense, he did a good job for the ROE, because he used average. So okay. Then the next thing is actually if you can see, like this company CBIP, I think I've thought a number of times. So this is generally a good company. So you can see ROE has been pretty high, more than 15% every year. The average ROE is 18.6, and the quarter one is also 16.9. So that's pretty good. Now, when you want to use 16.9, here it is also important that you compare to the most recent ROE. Because sometimes, if you use quarter one ROE is, let's say, 20%, but the most recent one is only 15%, and then you might want to be more conservative and to use an ROE of only 15% rather than 20%, which the difference might be too wide. Because the ROE number that you use will make a lot of difference in the calculation of intrinsic value. So it's better to err towards the conservative side. Okay, then the next thing here, okay, then, okay, this, all these are not much comments, because all these are data. Then here, some calculation which is not much, which I wouldn't go through again, because I mentioned CBIP a number of times, so here. More importantly, when I evaluate the homework, I notice a number of things that could be improved. So in that sense, I share with you also that if you are doing your homework, then you can update the spreadsheet to avoid these kind of mistakes. First of all, when I open the file, then suddenly it becomes 31st of March. Then I realized that the formula he uses is actually today. You see, here I do not suggest you use the formula today. Instead, I suggest you type a date. You type a date on the date that you did the valuation. Because what happened is, if you did the valuation already on this file, then after you close it, then the next month, when you open the file, then although in these numbers you did not update it, but then when you open the file, it will become updated on the April or May, you see. So I suggest don't use the formula today. Not so appropriate. Instead, put the last date when you see these things.
Yeah, that makes sense, because you really need to update the price to reflect it is today, right?
Yeah, or the number of shares outstanding, or the buy, and so forth. Especially if a company does buybacks, share buyback, and you need to change. So in that sense, this thing is better you do it manually. Then the next one is actually the total share outstanding. Total shares outstanding. Here there's a comment here. Instead of putting one column of shares outstanding, I suggest you break it down into two. Number one is the shares issued. Number one is shares issued. And then number two, you have a treasury shares. treasury shares. And then after that, you take the number, the shares issued minus the treasury shares to get the shares outstanding. Why is that so? Because if a company does buyback shares, the number of shares share issued remains the same, but the buyback shares have been increased. So the treasury shares will have increased also. So in that sense, the shares outstanding will have changed. So in that sense, I believe that it's better to break down into, especially for a company that have buybacks. So in this case, this one I don't suggest using this number, and probably this number might be wrong also. Now how to check this number? I think I've gone through it before the last time on CVIP, but for the benefit of members, I think I'll go through again. So first of all, of course, you must go to BusanMalaysia.com. Then next, you go to the listed company. Then after that, you go to CVIP. Now, after you go to CVIP already, then you click View More to view all the announcements. Then after that, after you have all the announcements ready, then first of all, you can take a look at what you want to see is you want to find out the shares issued as well as treasury shares. Correct. So one thing is here, because you see there's a here additional listing announcement already. So in that sense, you just take a look at this. It shows you the number of shares. Yeah, the shares issued. So here, what happened is they convert the warrants. 1 million warrants is being converted into mother share. So you see here, there's a 538 million shares. Latest issued shares. So now there's a 538 million shares of CDIP. So you take a here, it's equals to 138 million shares. Then the next thing is, sorry. This 538 million is the shares issued. Then the next thing is you need to find out is the treasury shares. So treasury shares again, you look at the buybacks, the latest buyback. Now, so happened this one, the CVIP is on the first page. But if it doesn't have on the first page, what you can do is you can see through every page, or you can also just pick category under share buybacks, which will also show you extra. Yeah, the latest share buyback. So either one is okay. So now you have share buybacks. Which the most recent share buyback is on the 24th of November 2014, and they bought 130,000 shares, and the total shares currently is retained in the company is 6.9 million shares. So you take 6.9 million shares. Then when you want to get the shares outstanding, then it's very simple. Then you just take this one minus this one. So you get 531.339. Wow, correct. Oh, correct. Wow, very good.
Jackpot.
Yeah, but for me, very good. But so happens, just for me, I like to break down into two. So every time when they increase the treasury shares, so I just change the number here. Okay. Then here the current share price. This one is when he submitted his homework. But it's not on 31st of March. But anyway, let's assume it's $1.93. By the way, I do not know today's price, but anyway, it's not so important since every day the price changes.
Yeah.
Then you get market capitalization. Now, when you get market capitalization, what happens is he uses a formula with shares outstanding multiplied by the share price, which generally it's correct if the company do not have warrants outstanding. But because the company have warrants outstanding, then you need to make adjustments. In that sense, you need to include in the warrants value multiplied by the outstanding warrants. So for market cap, let me do something here. So for market cap, you need to plus the warrants value. So what happened is the warrants value is, here I'm referring to warrants value. So the warrants value is equals to the number of warrants outstanding. and multiply by the warrant price.
Yep.
Warrant market price. And every time when the warrants is being converted into mother share, so the number of shares being issued is increased. That means the shares issued is increased, but the number of warrants is being decreased. Which in that sense you need to make adjustments to that as well. So sorry, go to market cap.
Just to make it clear.
Okay. So far here, the members got any questions, or am I going too fast?
Okay, good. So basically, when you want to calculate the market cap, you know, the current market capitalization of the company, you have to add in not just the outstanding share price times share price, but you also have to add in the warrants value, because warrants allow you to actually convert into the shares.
Correct. You are right. And then warrants, you have to when you see these warrants, you only include in the warrants issued by the company.
There are a few types of other warrants, yeah, which is like issued by banks. It just track the mother share price, right? It doesn't allow you to have the right to actually convert to shares.
Not by investment banker.
What do you call that? Like cash settlement one, right? I guess.
Correct. Now, there are two types of warrants. Here I again repeat now. There are two types of warrants. One warrant is issued by the company. Then the other warrants is issued by investment banker. Investment banker is like CIMB or Maybank, where they issue warrants as well. Now, if the investment banker issues the warrants, then you do not need to include into this calculation here, because what happened is it's just an internal settlement between the investment banker and the warrant buyers only. They have no effect to the company's value, or the company do not need to issue more shares. Now, however, if the company issue shares or will potentially issue shares, that warrant it costs money to the existing shareholders. So in that sense, you need to include in. So now, how do you know whether which is very simple again? They have a quote, I think they have a quote behind that. Let me see. There's a quote. I remember there's a quote. But anyway, let's take a look at these warrants. Category warrants. Sorry. CBIP. Okay. Now you see here, if it's CBIP here, there's a CA and CB. So if you take a look at CA and CB, then this is issued by the bank itself. The investment bank itself. Let me show you. So and then if it's issued by the investment bank itself, the settlement is in cash. So the code is if it's in CA or CB, something like C. Either CA, CB or HA, HB, HC, all these are issued by the investment banker. But if it's a warrant issued by the company, it is called WA or WB, which that helps to let me show you the WA one. WA. CBIP. There. Can you see the CBIP WA? Can you see?
Yeah.
Seven. So when it's WA, then that means this is issued by the company. Now, if it's issued by the company, and then the settlement will be in shares. Take a look.
Hey. Hey, also write cash. How come?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry.
No.
There, settlement.
It's the conversion.
I was shocked
price.
Suddenly.
Vote of satisfaction exercise. Physical shares.
So the settlement type is, in physical shares. When you see physical shares, then this affects the company's intrinsic value, because every time when you issue shares, the company's intrinsic value is being reduced. more men, less share, you know. So when more men, when the pie is being sliced into more pieces, then each slice is worth lesser.
Good. So here is a question from Jason. It's quite relevant. Yeah. It's asking the total shares outstanding. Do we need to take warrant consideration, or just in market cap? Yeah, I guess he need to understand. Do you understand the question, Peter?
Total shares outstanding. Okay. Is he referring to warrants, or is he referring to to the mothership?
I guess he's like, I don't know whether he understand what he's asking. You know, you write down there here. It's like total shares outstanding. Do we need to take warrant consideration to the mothership?
Oh, I see. Okay, what happened is like here, total shares outstanding, and there are two types of shares outstanding. This one refers to the mothership. This one refers to mothership. Then there's also another total shares outstanding for warrants. And the total shares outstanding for warrants is a different number. Yeah. It's compared to this one, because this one is the mothership. The warrants mothership, you see, the number of shares being issued before conversion, at that time when it's being issued, it's 88 million shares. So actually, it's actually lesser than the 531 million shares by the mothership. So in that sense, the warrants will have different shares outstanding compared to the mothership. So
different number of shares is definitely different. It's not like packed together, right? So after they convert some of the warrants into mothership, then the mothership outstanding is getting bigger, but the warrant share is getting lower.
Correct. You are right. Exactly correct. So in that sense, you need to have another cup here, where here share, this is referring to the mother share. Then here then I would suggest you add in another column for the warrants as well.
Since the price of the mother shares is different from the price of the warrant, so you have to calculate separately.
At the end of the day, when you get this the shares issued multiplied by the share price, and then multiplied by then you add in the warrants market cap. So-called market cap. Basically, it's the shares, the warrants outstanding multiplied by the warrants market price. So you add up this thing. So you get the market cap, which basically that's the price.
The total price of that day.
The company at that day, correct. Okay. Or the price which the company, if it were to privatize based on the market price, then this is what the person who want to privatize this company pays.
Hey, I'm wondering whether now like CBIP, they do share buyback. Is it possible to do like warrants buyback or not?
Warrants buyback, yes, it's possible also. It's possible. It's also possible to do warrants buyback. And in fact, if let's say the company is being privatized, the person who want to privatize the company must also pay the warrants shareholders as well, not just the mother share. He need to pay both.
I see.
So there's a value to your shares.
Okay, good.
Okay. All right. Then the next calculation here is actually the PE. The PE here is actually refers to the latest PE, but here I suggest you should write a better clear picture here. It's put as latest PE or rather than just PE, because there's many types of PE. Your calculated PE or the latest PE, and so forth. This is what he uses is here again. You need to see the formula. So his formula refers to that he takes the latest stock price, latest earnings. So this is not based on the calculation of PE, which is here you see the calculated PE. This one is based on formula, based on the value multiple formula which I shared earlier. So in that sense, you can see these two numbers are different. Why? Because this one using the projected ROE, and this one used the most recent, this PE uses the most recent number. So it, of course, it's meant to be different. Okay,
good.
Then he calculates the price to book multiple at 1.7 times. So 1.7 times in that sense, whether it's high or low, then you have to see, then that's where the calculation comes in. Raymond just Raymond's required rate of return is only 13%, so that's lower than what I use, which I'm using 15. So when using 13% instead of 15%, then the intrinsic value will show as if it's higher. Because take example, a property, given the same amount of rental, then you're willing to pay a higher price because your required return is actually lower. So in that sense, you have to understand the impact with that. But there's nothing wrong with either 13% or 15%. It's just that it's a matter of preference. So he comes up to calculate the intrinsic value to be 1.22 billion. By the way, I suggest anytime when there's a number here, I suggest you put a currency. If it's a currency number. If it's not a currency number, of course you don't use. For example, calculator PE 12.2, you don't put a dollar sign because this is not $12,
It's a ratio.
It's a ratio, correct. But if it's a dollar, then you put a dollar. So at least if not too many things, sometimes you get confused. This is the conclusion.
Very good advice.
Then here it says value multiple. So here I suggest put a value to book multiple rather than value multiple. And here I suggest calculate the PE, which is the value per earnings multiple. So in that sense, he calculated to be 2.1 and here to be 12.2. By the way, the intrinsic value, I checked the formula is correct. But there's a but here again. Why? Because CBIP have warrants. Now CBIP have warrants. So because they have warrants, then here you need to do a slight adjustments to that also, because the more accurate way. Because what happened is, because there's a warrants, and then if let's say assuming they convert the warrants, the shareholders convert the warrants, then the shareholders will, then the company will have more cash. I'm not sure you all understand. let me put it this way. You see there are 88 million shares. Now if this 88 million shares can be converted at $2.40 per share, now if let's say the share price is at $2.50, so if the share price is at $2.50, then they will convert all these shares at this 88 million shares at $2.40, because they have the option to buy at $2.40. Why would they buy at $2.50 at market price, assuming the market price is $2.50, when they can buy at $2.40? You get what I'm saying? So in that sense, because of that, if the share price is above $2.40, then these warrants will cost very money, but basically, which means that you'll be converted into a mother share. Now when it's being converted to a mother share, the number of shares will be increased, but at the same time, the company will have more money. Okay. So in that sense, the intrinsic value here need to be adjusted. How is it to be adjusted? The number one, let me write down now. For warrants, this is for warrants. And for warrants outstanding and market price. Is higher than exercise price. This equation only is true if the warrants of market price is actually higher than the exercise price, which for now is not. So in that sense, this one you can ignore it. But assuming it is, assuming the market price is higher than the exercise price at $2.40, then here what you need to do is you need to add cash that you have received by CBIP, by the company, and then you have to divide by a larger amount of shares of lending. Okay, so you need to do two adjustments. Number one, you need to add in the cash that you have received by the company, which means basically it's if assuming it's all being converted at $2.40, and because market price is $2.50, then you take $2.40 multiplied by the 88 million shares, which will get you about 220 million or something like that, cash in, added to here to your intrinsic value. And then when you divide by intrinsic value per share, you have to divide by the larger amount of shares outstanding, which means instead of dividing by 531 million shares, now you need to divide it by 600 million shares plus. Okay, I'm not sure whether is it too difficult or not.
I'm not sure if everybody can get it. In fact, it's quite it's not so straightforward. I'll say this.
But for now, because the intrinsic value, the company's market, because the exercise price is 240 and the market price is less than 240 currently. Mm. So in that sense, there's no adjustments needed. So here, this is not applicable for now. Mm. Because here, these warrants have no value as of now. When it's being calculated here, because nobody will want to convert it as of now. Mm.
I see.
Okay. So this one, so for now, this is correct. So then he calculates the interest value per share, comes out to be here, and here I suggest put the currency here also, and proposed buying price. And so in that sense, what he did was having a 1/3 margin of safety. So he take $2.33 and multiply by 2/3, which you get $1.55. Now here I suggest adding another two more columns, which is the current market price or the current price divided by what you think the intrinsic value is. So you take price over value. So here you get the formula I use is very simple, because I estimate the company to be worth $2.33 based on this formula, by the way, based on this formula, and required return is 13%, is $2.33. But because the market price is $1.93, so I take 193 divided by 233, that means currently the market price is selling at least 83% of what I think it is worth, which means that the discount currently is 17%. Mm. Of course, the discount haven't reached so high as 33%, because at $1.55 means it's 33% discount. But then here, I need to say a number of things. Because this company is CVIP, the product that they have, I believe, is not a commodity. Although they service commodity, but because they own Modi Palm, they own the ownership for this, what do you call it?
The technology
license. The technology, correct. So in that sense, they have a moat. So sometimes when a company, they have a moat, you might not need such a high margin of safety. So probably instead of 33%, normally I might go even for 20%, 25% or so. If I like the company and I like the management. Here, what's missed out is actually the management ownership. There's written here. So you can see the management ownership, they own 33% of the company. 30-something percent. So in that sense, that's pretty big percentage. Yeah, correct. Even public banks, Teh Hong Piao also, he owns 25%. But anyway, that because public bank is bigger. So in that sense, you because the management own the substantial holdings, your discount sometimes might not be so much. Might not need to be so much. So like personally, for CVIP, instead of the 1/3 discount, I'm happy to get even 20-25% discount. But that's because I like the company and I like the management, and also I like the product. Okay.
Yep. Nicely said.
Have any questions or not? Because I might go a bit too deep, so.
Raymond is here, you know. So.
Oh, okay.
I don't know whether Raymond got any further question or not regarding Peter's comment. You will have just type in the chat box. If not, then we will just move on, I guess.
Raymond, do you have any questions?
No, he's just not responding yet.
Oh, I see. Okay. Then in that case, I'll move on then.
Okay.
Okay, then the next one is a homework regarding coastal contract. Coastal contract, I think I shared about coastal contract recently also, regarding the attractiveness. But anyway, he's based on the same valuation. I think the same thing here need to change, which basically my comments is the same thing as earlier. So just need to make those adjustments. So I need to go through all these things again. But what happened is he calculated the intrinsic value to be $4.84, while the market price is $2.86. So that's provide a huge margin of safety. Pretty wide. So in that sense, in fact, he proposed to buy $3.23, which is still higher than the market price. So in that sense, that becomes a good buy. Then also before you buy, also you need to check. What happened is Raymond late have a question later regarding coastal contract. So let me show you the question. And the question was this one: how do you view significant events, example lawsuit, which might be potential liability of a company? Now, when there's a lawsuit of a, then you need to factor in what happens if there is a full payout. That means the worst case scenario, which is the full payout. Will you take that into consideration when valuing a stock? Yes, definitely. And then refer to coastal contract annual report note 36. This one I like. Because in that sense, there's a specific example, you see, rather than give a. So let's take a look together. So together.
Yeah, Raymond did very well. He reads the annual report.
Yeah, good. Correct. Yeah, that's very good. So let's take a look at note 36. So we can learn together. Yeah. Yes, there here, the significant event on here. But anyway, so anyway, if you read on at the end, what happened is the plaintiff alleged that the damage to the subject vehicle was alleged that the damage to the subject vessel by fire was due to negligence of SM, which is a subsidiary of
Sri Moda One.
SM, Sri Moda One is actually a wholly owned subsidiary of the company, which alleged, which was denied by SM. SM means refers to Coastal Contract because it's a wholly owned subsidiary of Coastal Contract. Then the plaintiff claimed a sum of $7.9 million. So in that sense, being the cost and this and so forth. So now, because there's a number that they claim, now you can see here, and other costs and so forth. Now the thing is, now you have to see the $7.9 million in relation to what the company have. So if you take a look at the company have a market cap. The company's market cap is $1.5 billion, and then you calculate. And then the intrinsic value being calculated is $2.5 billion. So if it's a full loss of $8 million, it's okay lah, because it's something like 3%. Yeah, 3% only. Hey, no, not 3%, it's 0.3%.
0.3.
Yeah, 0.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's $2.5 billion. So $2.5 billion, if it's a full loss, it's just a decimal point. It's okay. But if they say this lawsuit and they didn't put the number, then you need to know more about the lawsuit and how much it lost, you need to read further whether is that a significant amount or not. And then you need to factor in the discount. So instead of you want a discount, then you might want a bigger discount. But because this one is $7.9 million, whether it pays or not pay, it's okay. It's just decimal point.
So even they lost the case, they is only paying out like a few million, which is compared to their $1.5 billion market cap, so it's like nothing lah.
Yeah, correct. It's just like it's like nothing. Even the company's cash, if you see the company's net cash is 370 million. So you minus off $8 million is negligible, really negligible.
Yeah.
So in that sense it's okay.
Like for example, last time when Oracle, you know the big Fortune 500 Oracle company. They sue SAP and they won like $13 billion or something. That's like billion B.
Wow. So
that is a big number, like $13 billion.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. But also $13 billion, also you have to relation if you're buying SAP, then the company, then you need to see how big is this $13 billion to SAP. Because maybe sometimes SAP does not have $13 billion, so then SAP has to declare bankrupt.
Yeah. The $13 billion is like the profit for the whole year of Oracle already.
Wow, good. if you're on valuing Oracle, then you have to assume that you did not receive the money. I mean, if it's still on the case, then consider that all of it.
Okay.
Unless you really know the case, but for because if I'm outsider, I do not know so much. So I'll just assume the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
So anyway, he says that they are going to pay 50,000, but anyway, this is 8 million is actually negligible. So this one is okay.
Okay.
But it's the good job that by Raymond to read annual reports, because if he were to put a specific case, then in that sense, I know that he do read annual reports. So in that sense, that's a good job. Okay, then the next thing here, here not much of the comments, because all those comments are similar to the earlier ones. Regarding the same comments applied in CBIP also apply in coastal contract. So in that sense, I won't repeat again.
Yeah. So it looks like according to Raymond's requirement, then coastal contract is a good buy for him.
Yeah, correct. Okay, then the next thing here is regarding Padini. Padini here, I got some interesting thing to say. Okay, Padini's ROE for previously is 29% and 30%. Here's a little, why is it so low? L6. Oh, I see. Oh, it's because of the formula. Okay, now I understand already. Well, what happened is because Raymond did have 5 years only, because actually the Reuters only have 5 years. So what happened is he copied 5 years and pasted here. But what happened is the preceding 5 years on the there's only one number. So total equity got only one number. So when you use average, it's only one number. Because it doesn't have the year before that. So basically, if you have the year before that, then the ROE will have shown a higher number because you're using a number which is lower on the preceding year.
Yeah.
So but because it doesn't have, the average becomes that number itself only. That's why the ROE here.
So Raymond should dig up the number from the annual report or something, right?
Yes. Then if you put in a number, then here you'll be better here. Actually, in fact, you can work backwards, you know. But anyway, never mind, no need to work backwards. Okay, so now if you look at the past 5 years ROE of Padini, you can see that the it was about 29.30 until 2013 and onwards, then it drops to 24 and 23 only. The reason why it dropped, as I shared earlier, is because of the competition. So when it, Unique Low and H&M, because at that time there's no Unique Low and H&M, now there's a Unique Low. This impairment, I believe it's a permanent impairment. So gone are the days of 30% of 29-30% ROE for Padini. Now it's a 23-24, and some maybe in that sense they're struggling to compete also, because I heard that some people they prefer Unique Low and H&M than Padini. But compared to Vinci.
Yeah, recently I also bought shirt from Uniqlo already.
my wife was also they bought from Unique Low and H&M. So in that sense, they might find a competition quite tough to compete. But before you do purchase them, let's take a look. Let's take a look at the most recent Padini results. That's why some value investing, some people misunderstood. They thought buy and hold. What they are referring to is not buy and hold. It's buy and forget. You know, buy and hold. It doesn't mean buy and forget. You see, because after your initial homework you have done already, then you still need to consistently understand the company and see what's happening to the company. It's not you buy already and then you chuck it down on put in your safe deposit box and don't care about it for the next 20 years. You know, it doesn't work like that. That is not buy and hold. That is buy and forget. So let's take a look at the most recent results. Something like that.
Cannot be displayed.
Yeah.
Oh, it's coming up. Okay.
Now, if you take a look at here again, you see, this is a quick one. Of course, if you want to look at, you can also take a look at the annual report. Sorry, the if you take a look at the most recent one, then you can see. If you take a look at the most recent 3 months or 6 months, the revenue increased, but the cost of sales have increased, while the company's gross profit margin have reduced. You see, previously the gross profit margin is 47%, then now it's 41%, which means basically the profit before tax has also reduced. Also, You see, 24 million compared to the last year's same period is 39 million, so actually has dropped. And here also it has dropped also. If you see, cumulative 6 months also. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is the ROE at 24% might not be sustainable. Also. So in that sense, need to adjust downwards some.
Tough.
Tough. So competition is really not good for consumer. Competition is not good for
the business.
For capitalism. Yes, not good for the business. Correct. Does KC Lau have competition? I seems that KCLau.com doesn't have competition.
Looks like it,
Nobody
doing it. But they do the physical thing, lah. In fact, a lot of trainers out there, but they all do physical one. But I'm the only one who do the virtual one.
Good. Okay. Anyway, now if you want to see a quick glance, instead of using 24%, which it seems to be quite high right now, because the results doesn't look good. So then, what is the ROE should you be using? So what happened is I use a fast one. I think the most recent 6 months. Now take example because now there's a recent 6 months. So what happened is if you take a look at the company's profit, profit for the year is 35 million. Then there's foreign currency exchange. So you make 1.8 million due to currency exchange. So you become 37 million. But actually, I believe it's 35 million because you should exclude the foreign currency exchange. So you make 35.4. So you make 35.4 and then you divide it by your equity, which is 387.6 million. And then because it's 6 months, then you multiply by two. It seems that the
18%
Marini currently. Yeah, correct. Well, it's still above 15%, but then the intrinsic value it has shrunk again because the ROE it's hard to maintain. So in that sense, instead of using average, average is 26 and quarter one is 24, I believe you need to use lower than that because the most recent result doesn't look good. Of course, if you want to know more, then you can understand why the company's results is not good. So you can read more about Badini under the explanatory notes. Now the results is not good, that is for sure. Now what you want to understand is you want to see what the management say about that. Do they hide the facts or they try to go around the bush? So now what you're evaluating is you're evaluating what the honesty of the management. You already know that the results is bad. It's already no already. So what you want to know is the honesty of the management. Some of the reports that if you read, especially on iCap.biz, or when I read, I'm really like, So anyway, let's take a look at here. What he explains. Year on year, the revenue has increased. We also know already, it increased because of here. Gross margin earned had fallen by 6%, reflecting a continued aggressive promotion and discounting activity, increased clearance of slow moving stocks. Clearance of slow moving stocks had taken an urgent priority, as it was almost certain that after GST disposed. So of such stocks will result in an even greater negative impact margin. See, GST on sale of such stocks will be absorbed by the group instead of being passed on to the consumer. Wow, so really susah business. this one I really appreciate the management because the management is really honest in that.
Hey, Peter, suddenly your voice becomes softer. The sound becomes softer.
Oh, really?
Why? Do you make any change?
I don't know. No, I didn't make any change.
Well, never mind.
Can you hear me?
I can still hear you.
Okay. And it is also continue on. The substantial contraction in gross margin experienced currently resulted in profit before tax falling 38.5%, which compared to those earned in the same quarter last financial year. while operating expense did rise 7.45%, the increase can be attributed primarily to the increase in size of distribution network and so forth. So one thing you can say is actually the management is actually very honest about that. But another thing you can also see is actually due to GST, the GST cost cannot be absorbed by the consumer. So in that sense, the company have to absorb. So gross profit margin reduced, ROE instead of using at here 24%, so going forward probably you might use 18% will do. So after GST, then you need to calculate based on 18% ROE.
Yeah. Maybe since they are also in the retail business, then now after GST, probably you know have to like have a slow 6 to 12 months, where consumer really, watch their pocket lah.
Yeah, correct. So number one, the gross profit margin is reduced. Number two, the revenue might also be reduced. Yeah, like what Casey say. Yeah. So it's really tough. Business owner also susah. This is the second question asked by Raymond. It says implementation of GST is coming soon. I think that there will be a short-term impact on consumer industry. Will you try to avoid or delay investing in a company under consumer industry even if they are undervalued, referring to Bardini? First of all, I will need to adjust all the numbers. Instead of I use 24%, then I will use 18%. So take example here. Now this is Raymond's calculation of intrinsic value. He calculated the intrinsic value is $2.34, but because he's using 24% ROE. Now if you change the instead of 24 and you change to 18, you can see that the intrinsic value per share is suddenly dropped to $1 only. So that's a huge drop. If the price it drops to below intrinsic value and gives me a comfortable margin of safety, I will consider buying as well. But because Bardini is a good company and the management is actually honest, to me, I think it's honest. And also the management owns a substantial holding as well. You can see here, the management own about 44% of the company. So in that sense, I think that they own
the shares. They are the one who lose the most.
Yeah, correct. But even they lose the most, they are making millions and millions. So whether you got GST or not. I mean, like if you are making like 35 million in 6 months, 1 year you'll be making 70 million, and you own 45% of the 70 million, so you'll be making like, I don't know how much, 70 million times 4. 70 million multiplied by 4. You make 31 million, you still make a lot, so whether you got GST or no GST, your life virtually are not affected. Yeah. It's just that you feel bad, your company makes less profit, but for a normal person, I mean, he's really not of the cup. I mean, the founder is really not affected by all these things. I mean, the rich are really not affected by GST. Only the poor and the middle class. People like us. So anyway, you see, if you change from quarter one ROE instead of 18%, and you change to a number only, then you can see everything change. The ROE intrinsic value dropped to $1. So in that, if the stock price drops to maybe 80 cents or so, then I will consider to buy because margin of safety I might not need so much, maybe 20% or 25% again, because the I like the management but I don't like Uniqlo and H&M. Sorry, I don't like referring them to the competitor of Bardini.
Yeah.
Not as a consumer, by the way. Okay. So anyway, if I maintain back at 24% then here there's also another thing I need to mention regarding the Bardini. Another thing is, you see, because here the earnings growth is calculated by ROE multiplied by retention rate. And the retention rate is being used as average. However, if you look at Bardini, then you need to see whether should you be using average or not. If you take a look at the company's retention rate, you see the company's retention rate actually has been dropping and dropping. You can see 56%, then dropped to 45%, then dropped to 38%, and dropped to 17%. Now, when the retention rate is being reduced, which means that the company retained not much, which means that the company's is paying out a lot of the money, profit as dividends. There's not much for growth. Okay, so because of that,
which also
you might
means
not want to use.
They probably have already went into most of the market already, so they are not like expanding aggressively in the near future.
Correct, you are right. So because of that, the earnings growth, you see, like example, the formula being used by Raymond, here he uses average of 5 years. Now, average of 5 years, you can see that it might not be so accurate in this case, because what happened is the retention rate has been dropping. So if you change this, but what happened is Raymond put in minus 3% here, I think probably as a just in case.
Margin of safety.
Assuming you don't... yeah, let's grow.
Yeah, let's
now,
grow.
Assume you don't put that. Assume you don't put that, and assume you use the most recent company's retention rate, which is only 17%. Then you can see that the company's growth rate will become only 4% only. You can see. Which I think it's actually is instead of earlier being used by Raymond, which is 9%. Because he uses the average, so here in this case, this average is not correct. Also, if you were to look at the most recent quarter, recent 6 months, then you can see even worse. You see, the company makes 35 million, and they pay out 32 million. Wow, it's virtually almost 90% of it being paid out as dividend, which basically means the company's growth in the future will be very minimal. So in that sense, in fact, it's actually very tough for Pardini. You see, in the past 6 months, given the same period last year, the company pays out a dividend of 42.7 million because the company makes 56. So, and then now, they pay out only 32 million. Right? So instead of receiving 42 million as a shareholder, now you receive only 32 million. Also partly because the company's profit has reduced. So in a way, it's kind of like a tough period. Very tough. Okay,
good.
Raymond, have any questions?
No.
Yeah. So in that sense, the numbers have to be adjusted. What happens if you suffer a loss in Pardini after you calculate the intrinsic value? You imagine if you did not buy it, if you did not buy into Pardini and with the cash, would you have bought Pardini at that price or not, at the intrinsic value or not? Or would you use it for other things? If you have a better opportunity, even if it's a loss, I would suggest you move it on. But if you cannot find a better opportunity and the money is just idling in cash, then of course I think Pardini is still a good option. If it is at giving you at the price in relation to its intrinsic value. Okay.
Good.
So this one I've done through the homework. I think that's about it for the homework. Yes. Okay. Yes, I've done homework. Now, any questions?
No. I saw that then when the question text. Yeah. There are more questions, right?
Not related to that. More questions.
Okay.
Yeah. So I number one and number two has finished. Now number three, do you think it's fair to treat intrinsic value as a fair value of a company? Yes, the intrinsic value is actually the value of the company, what the company is worth. So to me it's the same. Intrinsic value, private equity value, or whatever, to me it's just definition. Now how do you identify a range of fair value of a company? Now that depends on a number of factors. Like if you use the formula of Let's take example CBIP example. Now it depends on number of factors. Now it depends on here the first one is the return you want. Then number two is the growth, which the growth also depends on the retention rate of the company, and as well, and the third one is ROE. So these three is actually the three main factors. So if you change either one, then the number will change. So what happens is you can change. One is very conservative, then another one is realistic. So if you put a very conservative number and it comes up, say conservative. Maybe you might want to look at it as conservative intrinsic value. Then another one is realistic intrinsic value. Now, I don't suggest putting optimistic intrinsic value. I think that's wrong. Yeah, because if it's better to always err on the conservative side. So if you just take example, if you come out to be a conservative intrinsic value to be $3, and the realistic intrinsic value to be $4, so you know that the intrinsic value is worth somewhere between $3 to $4. And so if you are buying the stock at 280 or 270, then I think you have a pretty comfortable margin of safety, because a margin of safety will say the stock price. This is just example. If the current stock price is 270, then you have a margin of safety ranges. So you have a margin of safety either of 10%. So you have a margin of safety between 10% to 32%. So if you have this kind of margin of safety, then you know that at your worst case or your most conservative estimation, then you still have a margin of safety. Then in that case, it's okay. So normally what I suggest is you have two types of intrinsic value. One is a conservative one, then another one is a realistic one. What you really think it is. Then you take a look at the stock price. Then if the stock price is still lower than what the most conservative estimate, then I think you have a margin of safety already. Of course, you don't expect that on the most conservative intrinsic value and the margin of safety is still giving you 33%. That's very unlikely, unless market crash, then you have extremely huge margin of safety. But most of the time, it doesn't happen like that. Okay? So a fair range of intrinsic value. So now, identify a fair range. So what normally you do is you change here. Example, instead of using quartile one, you can use the lowest ROE instead of using quartile one. But quartile one I think is low enough. Or you can use quartile one or the lowest of the recent year. If the recent ROE is lower, then you use the recent ROE is lower instead of using quartile one. Then instead you use 13%, then you use 15%. Then earnings growth, here, instead of you use the retention rate as average, you use the highest retention rate. The lowest retention rate. Because if the lowest retention rate, the retention rate is lower and the ROE is higher, then it will give you a low growth. When it gives you a low growth, then the intrinsic value will be lower as well. So you can try it out. So instead of using average, like here, at the case of Bardini, instead of using average retention rate, then you might use the lowest, which is 17%, which will give you a very low in earnings growth. Okay. So let's take example. Say the example here. You see, Raymond calculated at $2.34. Now, if I change a number of things, if I change the quartile one instead of the ROE instead of 24%, I change to 18%, and instead of wanting 13%, that I go for 15%, and the earnings growth instead of I use average, I use 18% and multiply by the most recent year, which is bad enough, 3% growth. Then you see that the intrinsic value comes out to be 74 cents. So you can see a number of small changes makes the intrinsic value becomes probably 1/3 to 1/4 of what was calculated earlier. Okay, but I truly think the Bardini's ROE was shrunk. He has 24% probably might be too high already. It's really tough. Someone coming out with the GST, probably I think 18% is more reasonable, or even lesser. So it's okay because of the sales also reducing.
Yeah, and then one more thing is just not just the Uniqlo and H&M competition. You know, now people are buying clothes from Taobao. You know, it's like a growing trend.
Oh,
you know, they buy online. You know, they buy clothes online now. So it's really got hit.
Wow. Yeah, probably because of GST now. Maybe now they buy from other worldwide stores.
Oh yeah, then you don't have to pay GST. Oh, shit.
Ah yeah, correct. Okay. So let's go to the next question. Are sector or industry comparison or ROE, PE ratio, or earning per share part of your investment decision in making factors? No. I don't look at whichever sector or industry. Sometimes my portfolio holdings will be highly on concentrated on consumer stocks. So to me, if it's all consumer stocks, I think it's also okay. Yeah. So I don't really speak to this sector or that sector.
What's the reason? Like I think the reasoning is because each company is unique. You think?
Yeah, correct. Because I think each company is unique by itself, and sometimes some sectors are really terrible by itself. So if I diversify, I just need this and that. That I may end up having less of a good sector and having more of a bad sector. So I don't. So no, I don't do any such things. Okay. And number five, when you were analyzing Coastal contract in December 2014, you used total equity plus cash, and then divided by market value plus market cap plus warrant value. I think which I shared just earlier. To verify that the stock is cheap, do you also take warrants into consideration when calculating intrinsic value? Yes, which I think I've gone through just now.
Shown us in the CBIP, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so Coastal contract will also do the same. So I think that's about it. Any questions?
Yeah, we'll leave. Any question from the attendees here today? If not, we are going to end the session. It's raining heavily here in KL.
Oh, I see.
Okay, so what did you say?
Before ending the session, I thought I will just give some hope. Remember the homework? I realized that I did not submit my own homework. Anyway, I mean, teachers are not supposed to submit their own homework. But anyway, just for the fun of it, I use this shareinvestor.com. And then I put a ROE of more than 13% for the past 5 years. Now, some of you might wonder why I did not use 15%. It's because the share investor, they use the ending equity. They use the net profit divided by ending equity, which for me, I want to use average or beginning equity, you see, but it uses ending equity. So because the ending equity, when a company makes profit, generally the equity rises. So to factor in that kind of impact, I reduce the ROE to 13%.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I change to ROE, or I can make as calculation also. You see, so as calculation is the company, assuming that the company is making 15 million, and then you divide by 100 million as usual, the equity, then you divide by 115 million, you assume that the company's 15 million is being reinvested. So you divide by 115. So you get 13%. 13.04. So that's how I get the 13%. So I use ROE more than 13% and PE ratio less than 100. Now, why do I put 100? Because I want to list all the stocks. And then I just want to have a column where it shows the PE ratio only. Because the PE ratio, although in currently is less than, let's say right now it's 15. But then in the next 3 months or 6 months, the share price might drop now. So and the company's earnings might remain the same, so the PE becomes attractive, kind of like Coastal contract, where suddenly the stock can drop 40%. So in that sense, it suddenly becomes attractive. So what wasn't attractive back then suddenly becomes attractive right now. So in that sense, I wanted to have a column of PE, but I do not want to minus off all those stocks, because I just want to have a listing of all the stocks for me to do my shortlisting further. So I put here PE. Then after that, I screen down. Then after that, I sort it by the PE ratio. So I sort by PE ratio, and there, this is the list of my homework. 55 stocks, and then I save, export to Excel, and that's it. My homework done. Finished. So this homework was very fast. but this one is actually using the computer service. But I suggest you all use the stock performance guide to read also, because stock performance guide, I think it's by itself is also useful. You can see the year by year, and also you can see the past 10 years, and you can read more about the company, so you can understand better about the company's performance, how the company makes profit. Another thing is, when I was in Australia, I watched this Enron, you know, the movie about Enron and the collapse of Enron. If any of you have Netflix, I suggest you all take a look at and go and search about Enron. And there's a video about that. And what happened was there was this analyst asking the CEO, you know, how does the company make profit? It's a very simple question. How does the company make profit? And the CEO really got mad, you know, at the analyst, because the analyst read through and don't understand how the company makes profit. You see, it suddenly come out, I'm making billions and billions, but where the money come from? So in that sense, if you don't understand how the company makes profit, then just move on. It might be the next Enron. Of course, maybe it might not be, but then the thing is, if you don't understand, then better move on. It's much safer, you know. Then you feel better at night. You sleep better at night.
Yeah.
So in that sense, that I think the stock performance guide it gives a good description of a company. So in that sense, I will submit this homework to Casey also. Under Peter's homework, basically this one is just
nice.
A saving of this copy to Excel. So if you want to, but don't use this to buy stocks. Use this as an initial research to read further on each and every on those stocks that you shortlisted. Not use it to buy. It is only used for you to shortlist only. Okay,
good.
So I think that's all today. Yeah.
Good, yeah, we had a very great session, and it's good that, you know, if you submit your homework, if you have any analysis on certain company, you know, just submit and we can talk about it here, you know. Like for example, I think Raymond, if you didn't submit it here and we didn't talk about Pardini, probably you have already bought some Pardini stocks already. So now we have give you some of the information like Peter shared about, you know, dropping the decreasing ROE, you know, the decreasing retention rate. So that's how you want to be, you know, be more conservative and, you know, not to lose money in the stocks market.
Yes, okay. Correct.
Very awesome. True. So thank you, Peter, for the great session, and thanks everybody for logging in today. And we'll see you next week. I guess next week we are going to do Warren Buffett's letter. It just came out. So we're going to do that.
Oh, okay. Sure, no problem.
On 7th of April. So see you all then. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.